Goldsmith. Next case for argument is Envirodyne versus Illinois Department of Revenue, Mr. Barrow.
May it please the court, counsel, Brian Barrow, Assistant Attorney General, on behalf of the Illinois Department of Revenue. The unitary determination is often wrapped up in a lot of technical jargon, but it's really a common sense determination. A business is unitary when the income-producing activities of one of its components is operationally linked to income-producing activities of other components of that business. Coupled with the fact that under Illinois law, the department's notice of deficiency is prima facie true and correct, and the burden of proof falls on the taxpayer to rebut it, the question before this court becomes a simple one. In fact, this case is no different, really, from what this court faced in the In Re Stuffer decision. It's a case of whether the taxpayer has met its burden of proof. In this case, it's the burden of proving a unitary relationship between Envirodyne's food packaging subsidiaries and Wisconsin Steel.
I don't understand phrasing the question that way. There's obviously no relationship between the steel and the food subsidiaries other than that they are subsidiaries.
That's correct.
But it appears to be the position of Illinois that the profits of the food subsidiaries are taxable at Envirodyne's level.
That's correct.
Right, and why is that so?
Because under Illinois law, Illinois law adopted the combined apportionment methodology of taxation, which allows Illinois to unitize related businesses where they have operational links, where they meet with the definition of a unitary business under the Illinois statute. Now,
Then I have trouble seeing why the profits of the food subsidiaries would be attributed to and taxable at the holding company level.
Okay.
But the losses of the steel subsidiaries would not be attributed to and taxable at the holding company level.
Okay. Because under Illinois law, it permits a group of affiliates to be divided into more than one unitary business group. And this is not an uncommon method. For example, Corporation A has subsidiaries B and C. B and C are unitary groups. Let's say 80% of the income of the holding company is attributed to C and 20% is B. You can divide the groups into two separate taxable entities, both and sourcing the different two groups through the common parent. And that's basically what we did here. We created two separate unitary groups. There's Envirodyne and the food packaging companies, and there's Envirodyne and Wisconsin Steel. The difference is Wisconsin Steel had no income. It only had losses. That's why we can source the income of the food packaging companies and tax it at the Envirodyne level, but not attribute those losses, the Wisconsin Steel losses. The only way you can attribute the Wisconsin Steel losses through Envirodyne to the food packaging income is if you treat Wisconsin Steel and the food packaging subsidiaries as part of one unitary business group. And that's where the burden of proof comes in, and that's where the taxpayer has failed. This case came before the court on stipulation.
Well, what is the criteria? The statute is confusing. It talks about integrated enterprise or common management. So is that correct?
Correct. It's a rather broadly defined statute.
It's got these two things. So integration apparently is not required. So what is common management?
Well, Illinois courts have basically defined them coextensively.
How can that be? I mean, it's integrated or common management. Those sound like different things.
They sound like different things, but it's basically, it's a broad statute. Centralized management refers to central functions that provide sort of pools of services across the board to different subsidiaries, maybe. Functional integration refers to shared values. Generally, if you're going to have one, you're going to have the other. That's how the Illinois courts have come down on this. Ruled on this.
Well, Envirodyne was providing services to this sort of pathetic bankrupt shell, wasn't it?
It contends that it provided some limited services to Wisconsin Steel in its bankrupt state. But again, the question is, can these all be linked together? I mean, even if it was preserving some services to Wisconsin Steel, even if it was providing litigation service were sufficient to find a unitary with Wisconsin Steel, you can't attribute those same services to the food packaging company because there's just no links between these two types of services. Let's say, for the sake of argument, that And Byron Levine had an executive vice president who was dedicated to finding cross-marketing purposes to food packaging companies. And you have Byron Levine's bankruptcy counsel, who's dedicated to assisting Wisconsin Steel through bankruptcy. Even under those facts, you don't have a unitizing link between the services provided to Wisconsin Steel and the services provided to food packaging companies.
Now it just sounds like you're trying to take issue with the district court's inferences from the record.
Well,
and it's almost impossible to set aside a finding of fact that's clearly erroneous.
I disagree, because I think the district court kind of misunderstood the case, frankly. And I think that the problem isn't not that we're disagreeing with their inferences. The problem is there is no fact showing what unitizing factors
other than the common management,
which
is a statutory possibility and which the district court found as a fact.
Well, there's common ownership.
Yeah, that too.
Okay, but common ownership is not enough.
But the district court found as a fact that there was common management.
But there's nothing in the stipulation that shows common management between Wisconsin Steel and food packaging companies. And that's really the key factor.
Other than the fact that the top of the holding company pyramid was controlling both sets of subsidiaries.
Other than the fact that they owned both sets of subsidiaries.
Yeah.
There's no fact showing. There's got to be something more than just ownership. There's no fact showing that food packaging, say, and Wisconsin Steel ran the payroll through the same main.
But of course, this is a very exacting test. You're suggesting no conglomerate corporation was satisfied, right?
Unless, of course, that would increase its taxes, in which event Illinois would be arguing that every conglomerate corporation is satisfied.
No, Your Honor. I mean, courts have made it clear. I mean, it's easy to say, you know, we're being self-serving here. But
that's your position, isn't it? No conglomerate corporation would ever get the benefit of unitary trade.
No, absolutely not. We can unitize conglomerates all the time.
I don't understand you, because if you have two unrelated subs, which is the nature of conglomerates, they have unrelated businesses.
Okay.
If you have two unrelated businesses, there's not going to be any integration between them.
Well, sure there can. The Borden case is a perfect example of that. You had Pepsi bottling subs. You had other subs doing other unrelated food product producing, and they all shared common pension funds. They shared common employment policies. They shared common personnel policies. All of those are the sort of unitizing links that evidence a unitary business. There weren't any of those here. I see I'm getting into my rebuttal.
Right, so if you had a single pension fund that covered the food people and the steel people, that would be...
That would be a strong fact.
That would be important.
That would be an important fact, yeah. Common payroll, use of common computer services, use of common accounting services, use of common tax services, all of those would be important facts that would show business unity, and there was none of that here. Byron Dine was the master of their documents. They're the master of their business. They could have come forward to show that, and they simply didn't. And I'll stop there and say...
Sure. Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Brilliant?
May it please the Court. Alan Brilliant on behalf of the Appley Envirodyne Industries and its affiliates. Your Honor, this is really a very simple case.
So when he says it's very simple, you say it's very simple.
Yes, Your Honor. First of all, Your Honor,
characterizations are pretty unhelpful. Let me ask you, now what do you regard as the minimum linkage, if any, that would have to be shown between two subsidiaries, you know, one out of state and one in state, for them to be considered part of a unitary enterprise?
Between subsidiaries, Your Honor, I don't believe that there has to be any interrelationship at all. There just has to be a common control from the parent. We have to step back for a second, Your Honor.
So you have a holding company it's simply an investment vehicle. It's not interested in management. It just owns stock and a bunch of, you know, controlling shares in a bunch of different companies, but it doesn't provide any common services or anything.
Your Honor,
coupons.
Yeah, Your Honor, in that situation, I do not believe they would be unitary. I think in order for it to be unitary, and I believe that this...
seems inconsistent with your previous answer, which was that all that was required was common control.
No, well, yeah, I said common control and central management. The Illinois statute requires, you know...
Okay, what does central management entail?
Central management entails oversight of the subsidiaries. there's a number of factors that are set out in the statute which are not exclusive, all of which I believe are met here. There was common integration of operations. Your Honor,
But Mr. Barrow's principal point is that, yes, Envirodyne is integrated with Wisconsin.
Yes, Your Honor.
And Envirodyne is integrated with its food packaging company that it acquired.
Correct.
But it used completely different methods, pensions, payroll, everything is different, so that there is no real reason why Illinois should think it should attribute Wisconsin Steel's losses to allow food packaging to pay lower taxes in Illinois.
Yeah, Your Honor, I believe that Judge Conlon got it right, which is if one group of subsidiaries is unitary with the parent, and another group of subsidiaries is unitary with the parent, but there is no cross-unitization between the two subsidiaries.
I thought Mr. Barrow had a pretty good argument, because here's Illinois, wants these tax revenues, but it recognizes, limitations on its ability or propriety of reaching out into other states and so on. So if Wisconsin Steel were really in some sense part of food packaging, it would be inappropriate for them to say, well, because Wisconsin Steel is Wisconsin, we're not going to allow its losses to be set off against food packaging. That would be the best case for unitary enterprise. Now, we seem to be extremely remote from that here.
Yes. Your Honor, if we can, let's just step...
Food packaging and Wisconsin Steel are totally separate. So why should Illinois allow food packaging to offset its profits by losses of Wisconsin Steel?
Because, Your Honor, we have to go back to the statute. Illinois has chosen to create a statutory framework where they have taken the broadest view of unitary position, and if two entities meet the statutory test to be considered part of a unitary business group, they are required. It is not optional. They are required to file a combined unitary business group return, and that is what Envirodyne did here. And the statute that has been established by Illinois sets up three prong tests, two of which are met. One, common ownership. The second being the same line of business, which is manufacturing. Which
same line of business.
Your Honor, as Judge Conlon said,
food and steel.
Your Honor, if you look at the statute, it defines them in terms of manufacturing and distribution.
When the FTC had its line of business reporting, would food and steel have been in the same line of business?
Your Honor, they may not have been with respect to the FTC, but for this statute they are. But more importantly,
they required four-digit census of manufacturers' numbers, didn't they?
That's correct.
Your view is kind of one-digit census numbers.
But, Your Honor, for the purposes of this appeal, this is something that has not been appealed by the state. The state conceded this point by not appealing it to the district court, and they have not raised that issue here, which leaves us just with the one issue as to whether they're unitary. And the state, Your Honor, if you read their reply brief, they acknowledge that there doesn't have to be integration between the various subsidiaries. They say on page 5, another way and probably the more common way in business unity is shown is where two or more subsidiaries are essentially managed by their common parent. And that's what's happening here. You have two different groups of subsidiaries that are being managed by their parent.
Where's the functional integration?
The integration between Envirodyne and the Wisconsin Steel Group was the fact that the management...
Well, but this quotation, which is in your brief, so I assume you endorse it from the A.B. Dick case, says that the Tax Act requires there be common ownership, that the companies be in the same general line of business. You just defined the companies as food, packaging, Wisconsin Steel. You said they were in the same general line of business.
Manufacturing, right.
That there be functional integration through the exercise of strong centralized management. Well, that sounds as if it's functional integration between the two subsidiaries.
No, Your Honor, it's under. If you read the A.B. Dick case, it's very clear. It's functional integration. Your Honor, but it's functional integration between the parent and the subsidiary, which in this case is Envirodyne and Wisconsin Steel. A.B. Dick also goes on to say that if you have strong central management or functional integration, that in and of itself is sufficient.
Let me tell you what puzzles me. It's the same question I asked your adversary. I couldn't figure out from the district court's opinion why the food subsidiary's profits were being attributed to Envirodyne. That is, the district court made findings about centralized management between Envirodyne and the steel subsidiaries, but didn't make any such finding between Envirodyne and the food subsidiaries. And one would think on this strong centralized management test that it would have to be the same management team, tools, techniques, devices, whatever, being used for each of the subs. But the district court didn't make any findings about this with respect to the food subsidiaries.
Right. Your Honor, I don't see the issue. You know, my sense of what we have from the state is that they've changed their argument a little bit. Below, they really argue there had to be, you know, interrelationships, you know, across subsidiaries, which Judge Conlon, rejected, and you know, is contrary to Illinois law, and they sought no cases. They now say that we didn't prove there was integration. A couple of things I'd point out. In paragraph 4 of the stipulation, it was agreed and stipulated.
But before we talk about the stipulation, is my understanding of the district court's opinion correct? Are there any findings by the district court about the way in which there was strong centralized management between Envirodyne and the food subsidiaries?
There was no finding with respect to that, Your Honor, because it wasn't really at issue. But I guess what I would like to point out is two things. In paragraph 4 of the stipulation, it says, except as otherwise specifically set forth in the stipulation, during all relevant time periods, Envirodyne operated as an active holding company, providing, among other things, oversight and management services to its subsidiaries. Envirodyne realized income from the payment of management fees by its subsidiaries. And second, Your Honor, they stipulated that Envirodyne...
It really sound like integration. Now, the Tax Act itself says that a unitary business group means a group of persons related through common ownership, whose business activities are integrated with, dependent upon, and contribute to each other. Now, how do food packaging and Wisconsin Steel contribute to each other? Except Wisconsin Steel's losses contribute, you hope, to.
Well, Your Honor, there was,
packaging's tax liability.
Our view is that the language each other is referring to the parent and the subsidiary. It talks about common ownership. And that's the parent and the subsidiary.
That's not what it says.
Dependent
upon and contribute to each other. Each other means all the members of the group.
Your Honor, the Illinois Supreme Court in the Citizens Utility case, dealt with a multi-pronged corporation, and there was no evidence that the 24 entities contributed to each other.
Well, if you go further in this statute, it says that the members are functionally integrated through the exercise of strong centralized management. For example, authority over such matters, purchasing, financing, tax compliance, product line, etc., is not left to each member.
Yes.
So does Envirodyne have any common policies applicable to Wisconsin Steel and food packaging?
Your Honor, I guess, it said that each one is not left to each other, and in Wisconsin Steel, it had oversight of various of its operations, consulting on the litigation, work with its plan of reorganization from the holding company. The holding company also had provided common services, which it also provided to the food packaging services. They had, common officers, common... general counsel, taxes, various insurance, various other things were done together. The part of the stipulation that we had from the state was that Wisconsin Steel and the, Envirodyne and the food packaging companies were unitary. And with that stipulation that they were unitary came all of the assumptions that all three of the tests were met. They don't challenge that the food packaging businesses in Wisconsin Steel were unitary. What they're really challenging is just
no,
that the other one were unitary, and that the, and I guess what they're
the
really
connection
saying,
between
that's
the
correct. Well, yeah. that they're saying it's not sufficient that two entities just be unitary.
Right, but that's the issue.
Right,
yeah.
And what's confusing.
Your position doesn't make a lot of sense, I don't think, because as they say, I don't see any reason why Illinois should want to treat Wisconsin Steel as in conjunction with food packaging.
Unless, of course, it were profitable.
That's right. And I think that is the point, and I think Judge Easterbrook has it exactly right. And I tried to get to this earlier. The state requires you, they require you to file a combined unitary business group return because they want to get as much tax dollars in as possible. So they have created a statutory framework, and the Illinois courts have interpreted the statute very broadly, such that the factors that exist here would be enough to create a unitary business group, because it makes money for the state of Illinois. The bigger the unitary group, the more they can apportion to Illinois.
And here,
Your Honor,
which is your time.
Thank you, Your Honor. For all foregoing reasons,
right.
We ask that Your Honor.
Okay. Thanks a lot. You have 2 minutes, Mr. Baroff.
I guess.
How do you answer? So that's a powerful point. What's your answer to that? That you know you've gotten all this nice case law in which unitary enterprise very broadly concerns. You can reach out to these other states. But here you have the law in the other states. You want to pull in your horns,
Your Honor. I mean, counsel's correct. The unitary business combined apportionment is not a discretionary matter for the department any more than it is for the taxpayer. We have to combine if they're combinable. They have to combine if they're combinable. There are times when companies get combined to their advantage. There are times when they get decombined to their advantage. There are times when.
But haven't the Illinois courts? Lean in favor of combination.
I suppose they
which would generally benefit you because they're more likely to be gains than losses from out of
most of the
state.
Most of the time, when you make a bigger pie, you get a bigger slice of the pie. That's not always the case, and the courts have taken. I suppose it's been characterized as a liberal view or a broad view of
right.
combination, but there are limits on combination. There are statutory limits, and there are even. Although hasn't come up in this case, constitutional limits. And I think citizens.
Yeah, but you say you can have spokes without a wheel, and don't the cases support that?
That you can have spokes without a wheel.
Right.
I guess I'm not quite following.
Well, the wheel would connect the two spokes. Right. It's
the spokes.
The hub is the fire day, and the hub is the fire day.
Right.
And
okay.
The two spokes are food packaging
right.
and
right.
steel,
sure.
but they're not.
That's correct. That's correct. That's perfectly permissible under Illinois law.
Well, isn't that this case?
But they're separate. But they can be divided into two separate groups. You've got Envirodyne and food packaging, and Envirodyne and Wisconsin Steel. And that's the way combination works under Illinois law. And that's.
Are there any cases which have done that? Any
there's no reported case in Illinois, no, that has actually done that. No, there are reported cases as we've cited in other jurisdictions, and I mean, as Professor Hellerstein points out, the separate business analysis is a semantic distinction. If you're functionally integrated and you have centralized management, then you're not operating as a separate business. If you're operating as a separate business, you're not functionally integrated, and you don't have centralized management. So, it's not some sort of wild theory that Illinois just come up with for this case. I mean, this is fairly standard unitary theory. And
I get to ask a question after you're late as that.
Go ahead.
This case concerns only two tax years.
Right, correct.
What happened in the prior years? Did they file this return and was it accepted? Cut out to subtract this loss from this defunct company that hasn't done anything for 23 years?
I think they had filed combined returns for a number of years, but they weren't audited. What prompted this particular case is Envirodyne declared bankruptcy
right.
in 91, and then they were audited in the early 90s, and that's when the department sort of put all this together. I mean, and that's, again, our resources are limited, and that's how tax cases work. I mean, until we audit somebody, we don't really know how they're operating. And that's why how we came upon this particular controversy.
Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsel. We'll move on to our last case, United States.